Hello, and welcome to another episode of Full Court Finance here at Zacks. I'm your host, Ben Raines. And today we have a special episode. I'm going to be interviewing the co-founder of Sports ETFs LLC, Nick Fullerton. And we're going to be taking a look at the four major North American professional sports leagues, where their new fund, trading under FANZ, tracks 66 companies that are sponsors within those leagues. So if you have any questions, please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcast@zacks.com. And now we're going to get right into it with Nick Fullerton. Hey, Nick. So the first question I have is, since this is such a new and interesting idea, what was the genesis for the fund?
Well, Jim and I, our children actually go to school together, and we've always talked about sports and investing a little bit. And we were in the parking lot one morning, and Jim came to me and said, "Hey, I've got an idea for you. Let's go grab some coffee." And we started talking about sports and who's making money from all these pro sports and this kind of whole industry that people are so passionate for. And we basically said, all right, well, the leagues are making money. The owners are making money. Some of the players are making money. But if you're a passionate fan, how do you participate in that? I mean, you can participate in all the other industries out there. If you like oil, you buy oil stocks. If you like consumer packaged goods, you buy consumer packaged goods products. But sports, which captures the heart of half or if not more of the population, you can't really invest in any easy or meaningful way. And so we started kicking around different ideas of what would be a good measurement of the sports world. And we went through 20 or 25 different iterations, from looking at attendance metrics to salary cap increases to team valuations to basically a whole suite and gamut of different metrics that we thought might resonate. And we kept coming back to, my partner Jim does a great pitch of this. He said, it's Sunday morning, you're about to watch a football game with your daughter. You're watching on a Samsung TV, you're using a Comcast cable feed, you're checking stats on your Amazon tablet, you're wearing Under Armour, your daughter's wearing Nike, you're drinking a Budweiser, they're drinking a Coke. And these are all things that you know, these are all things that you use on a regular basis, and they're all official partners of the leagues. And so we took our time and did some work on that.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So I guess my next question would be, what exactly went into picking the companies themselves? I mean, obviously, were all of the leagues thought of originally? Was it always going to be the big four American sports of NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA, and NHL? Or how did that work? And what companies were left off? And was there a market cap size? Or just sort of talk more about what went into researching the companies and what the criteria itself was.
Great question. We initially thought of doing what we call a big five list of sports categories. So we were going to potentially include soccer along with football, baseball, hockey, and basketball. Ultimately, we decided that potentially could be another product down the road, given that soccer enjoys probably a larger fan base outside of the U.S. And although the Major League Soccer in the U.S. has a great set of partners, we thought it might work better as a potential future index. And so we really honed in on the initial core, what we call the core four leagues here in the U.S. We also looked at potentially doing individual league indexes. Some of the leagues we felt didn't quite have enough official partners to be a diversified enough portfolio. So we decided to roll up the four leagues into one larger index. In terms of picking the companies, the Pro Sports Sponsor Index is a purely rules-based index. The leagues do the work for us. In terms of picking the companies, you have to be an official partner of one of the leagues or have distribution rights with one of the leagues. So if the company is just advertising during a baseball game on a Monday night, that would not constitute a partner of the league. Whereas if you are the official web service provider of pro baseball, or you are the official yogurt of pro football, and you've got some kind of official stamp as part of your marketing and messaging with the league, then you go into the index. There are restrictions in terms of the initial universe of all those companies was 105 names. And based on restrictions that we've put around who's included in the actual index, it whittled down to 66. And so when I say restrictions, there's got to be a market cap of over $1 billion. They've got to have average decent trading volume. They have to be listed on U.S. or Canadian exchanges or have an ADR on one of those exchanges. And obviously, there's some companies that are private that are partners of the leagues, but they can't be included in the index as well.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. So I guess the next question would be more of a, how does this fit into, I know you talked about that it's for sports fans, but how do you guys see this fitting into the average investor's portfolio?
I mean, it's a very diversified portfolio. So it's, you might think initially when you hear pro sports sponsors, you might just think of Procter & Gamble and Campbell's Soup and Budweiser. But when you look at the leagues and how they've evolved their partnership categories over the past decade and a half, they've really grown the available categories. As popularity of sports has grown and the profitability of the leagues has gone up, they've really enhanced the sectors and the classifications available. So now you look at our pro sports sponsor index, and it's about half consumer discretionary and consumer staples. And then the balance is made up of financials, technology, energy, healthcare, some utilities. So it really is a broadly diverse portfolio. And we view it as a position that can be a core equity holding in someone's portfolio or a complement to the S&P 500 that looks through a sports-specific lens. So it's another key point of this is it's not all U.S. companies that are part of this index. So about 85% are U.S. companies, but about 15% are from international developed markets as well. And for the most part, these companies, given their multi-year, multi-million dollar agreements with the leagues, these companies are blue chip companies that still have a desire to grow and reach new consumers and new fans of the sports leagues. And so they've got to have enough free cash flow to enter in these multi-year agreements. And we found that through our back testing that there was a real outperformance in the index versus the S&P.
Okay, so jumping off that back testing, obviously you guys think that being a big-time pro sports sponsor in the States is beneficial to a company in the long run, or it proves that they're a solid company because they're with sports. Can you talk about how this backtesting was achieved and sort of what metrics you were looking at to determine if the companies were benefiting from their partnerships with the sports, or was it more just they're such big companies, this is the sports thing is an ancillary thing on the side and it doesn't really benefit them that much?
Well, unfortunately for us, companies don't go and break out their return on investment from their partnerships with the leagues. So there was a lot of manual intensive labor going back in time, and we went back to 2005 to see who the official partners were and when they became a partner of the league and when they ended their partnership or renewed and what that looked like from a performance perspective. There's a great research report by McKinsey that shows if you are a pro sports partner or official partner of the leagues and you have an active and engaged program, and when I say program, basically you have a reason or you have an event that goes along with your partnership, they can see their return on investment be as much as 30%. So that's one aspect of it. Another aspect of it is most of the fans, or the passionate fans, what we like to call avid sports fans, are very loyal to whether it's a league, a sport, a team, or an athlete. And they will tend to mimic or follow and make purchasing decisions based on what their league or what their favorite player might use or promote. And so we think there's a direct correlation between these official partners and their success and their partnerships with the leagues. And we back-tested, like I said, back to 2005 and found outperformance of over 100% to the S&P over that time period.
Well, that's a pretty impressive outperformance compared to the S&P. So I guess my next question would be, in terms of when you guys were doing the research and whittling down the companies to the 66, were there companies that surprised you that made the final list, or was it just sort of, it seems obvious that these companies are on this list? I mean, you could give just a couple examples of maybe some outliers that seems, oh, wow, I didn't really realize how big this company was in terms of sponsoring a Big Four North American sports league.
Ben, that's a great question. And there are definitely some names in there that I had no idea would be a partner of one of the official leagues. I mean, obviously, we talked about before Nike and Under Armour and Adidas. Those names in sports go hand in hand. But when you look at a company like Church & Dwight, for example, that's a company that you might not have heard of. It's not something I affiliate with sports. Allstate. There's always the insurance companies. You don't affiliate those with sports teams, but they're one of a major league partners. Cisco is another example, and SAP. Those are all examples of companies that you don't traditionally affiliate with anything to do with sports. I mean, they're tech companies. They are data-driven hardware or software. What does that have to do with a pro sports league or a game? But there they are as an official X of one of the leagues. And one of the names that really was interesting to us was Nathan's Famous Hot Dogs. So they became the official hot dog of Major League Baseball. And it was surprising that baseball didn't have an official hot dog category, but Nathan's became an official partner. And after the 4th of July hot dog eating contest with Joey Chestnut, they really activated that partnership at the All-Star Game. The following week, they flew Joey Chestnut down to have a hot dog eating contest at the All-Star Game to really promote Nathan's as the hot dog of Major League Baseball. That was a really, really fun one.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So in terms of when you're talking about companies that you don't think of right away as sponsoring a major league sport, with that said, like tech companies, why in your opinion are these companies sponsoring these sports if they don't even necessarily pop in your head when you think of, say, the NFL? You don't think of some random company that might actually be an official sponsor. Why do you think they bother spending all of this money for something that might not even be known to a lot of fans?
Well, we've seen a lot of these partnerships that go on with the league are not only used on a, you know, external consumer-facing basis, but also an internal morale boost for companies as well as a sales tool. So when you're going to do a big client pitch and you can show that as the official, I'll just call it hardware of pro football, the sports leagues are getting so, I guess, technology-driven through their streaming capabilities and their social media interactions and all the stats that you're seeing throughout the screen, you can really demonstrate some of the uses of these technologies that are going, that the leagues are using and kind of pushing to the limits. And when you're going on large corporate business-to-business type meetings or sales pitches, you can really point to, hey, look at what we're doing with our partnership with Pro Football. This is just one example of the way our technology is being used. So we feel they're both using it to drive direct-to-consumer business, but also as a business-to-business relationship-building tool.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, sort of saying, like, hey, we're this prestigious that we are, yeah, the official tech sponsor of the NFL, or say something like that. So I guess building off of talking about technology and how the leagues are progressing, where do you see the business of sports progressing, say, in the next couple of years? What do you think the next big frontier will be where sports and business collide?
Well, we're really seeing, and there's been a lot of buzz about it recently, and the leagues are really starting to get involved, and that's esports. A lot of the leagues are starting to create their own almost sub-leagues, and some of the owners are getting involved and funding these esports leagues that are getting just huge fan bases and huge followings, whether it's a live event where people are sitting in a stadium watching people play video games from their seats or watching a streaming event. It really seems to be taking hold, especially with the millennial generation. I'm not from that generation, but when I see the stats about how many people are watching esports and participating in esports, it's just mind-boggling. Where I'm more of a traditionalist, I'll watch it on a TV or go to a stadium or, you know, stream it on my tablet. Esports seems to be the next big frontier in the sporting world, and the leagues are really getting involved in that.
Yeah, so building off the esports, and I know you mentioned soccer earlier, what plans, if any yet, do you have for a future fund or future funds in terms of what you would incorporate in terms of the sports world and financial companies?
Ben, if you take a step back for a second, you look at, obviously, soccer is the number one sport globally. So there's always potential to look at an index of companies that are affiliated with soccer throughout the world. One of the challenges with soccer is it's, I guess, European and the South American and even the Asian leagues, they don't, at this point, have the same marketing relationships on a league-wide basis as we do here in the U.S. It's more team-by-team driven. So the challenge is, how do you slice and dice and build out an index that really captures global soccer? I mean, there's other... That soccer is one example. There's other things around auto racing or stadiums and, you know, an esports sponsorship, which I imagine would be pretty technology-driven or a technology-driven index. But there's such a broad range, and, you know, sports is so ubiquitous around the globe, whether it's cricket in India, highlight, whatever sport you're thinking of. Each of those sports has a passionate following, and there's always companies that want to be affiliated with those sports because they're reaching out and getting such a passionate fan base and loyal fan base. And once again, it goes back to one of our big themes with this Pro Sports Sponsor Index is invest in what you know. And for the most part, the companies in the index are companies that you know and use, whether or not on a daily basis, you're using it in the background. Cisco is running the networks, Comcast, you're watching your cable feed. You might not buy their services or realize you're buying their services, but they're all products you know and use on a regular basis.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So I guess to wrap it up, Nick, here, in terms of reaching sports fans that want to invest in this, what are you guys doing to sort of promote the fund and getting the sports-minded, maybe just fan who might not even have investments or like investing at all or even thinking about it? How are you trying to get them to think, hey, why not start with something that I know, like you said?
Sports fans, I mean, the whole goal of going to a sporting event is having a favorite team or a favorite player is to hopefully you're hoping for a win from them. So we're trying to get both a sports fan and the investment community to look at a product that is affiliated with a set of companies that are all affiliated with something that shoots and strives for winning. And for the traditional sports fan and investor out there that watches games on a weekly or daily basis, there's never been a way for them to participate in just the outsized growth of these leagues. I mean, pro football wants to grow from $12 billion in revenues to $25 billion in revenues by 2025. We're trying to educate the sports fans out there that, hey, now there's a product out there that can allow you to potentially participate in some of that growth. And we think that, you know, investing in what you know and a well-diversified portfolio will really provide them with that tool.
So, Nick, are there any companies or company in particular that you can say has really benefited from being a partner of one of these leagues? I mean, that you can really point to, like, hey, before they weren't doing as well, and now, wow, now that they're with X League, they've really boomed.
Good question. One of the companies that always sticks out in my mind and is Papa John's Pizza, which is one of the is the official pizza of pro football. And their CEO has basically attributed their rapid growth over the past few years directly to their partnership with the NFL. And they've been so excited about their partnership and the fan base and the activation they've seen from being the official pizza that they've now doubled down and are they now the official pizza of pro baseball as well. So, you know, that's one example of a company that's really latching on to the loyalty and the passion of sports fans and attributes a lot of their growth to that. And, you know, that's the case for a lot of the companies in this index that really feel that sports is one of the best ways to tie a consumer and get a consumer to be passionate about your brand. And so we're really excited about the index we built, the Pro Sports Sponsors Index, and we're hoping things go well in the future and sports fans and regular investors alike will find a use for it in their portfolio.
Well, Nick, I really appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to talk with us here today about the fund, and I wish you guys the best of luck going forward.
All right. Thanks, Ben. Really appreciate it.
And that concludes our interview with Nick Fullerton, the co-founder of Sports ETFs. If you want to find out any more about their fund and what they're doing over there, you can check out their website at sportsetfs.com. And if you have any questions for us at Full Court Finance, you can send us an email at podcasts@zacks.com. Until next time, I'm Ben Reins.